fact, we'll even squinch together a little bit. How are you? Good? If you could have anything, what would you want? You could have anything, what would you want? You want a pickup truck. Excellent. Scooch, let's scooch together. Come on. Scooch over, scooch over, scooch over, scooch over, scooch over. There you go. Come on. Yeah, excellent. Well done. You want a pickup truck. What would you want? What else would you want? Yeah. You want a dolly? Excellent. You want a what? You want pennies? That's doable. You want a goldfish? Wow. That's doable. Any school fair has them. You throw ping pong balls at them when they drop in. Mom goes, great, look what we have. Yeah, yeah. What would you? Yeah, what would I want? What would I want? I want an island. What would you like? I'm sorry? Translate. You want a diesel pickup truck. Excellent. You want a diesel. You don't want just a gas one. You want a diesel one. That's a good truck. I like that. What else would I want? I'd want to, how about, wouldn't it be cool to be able to fly? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't you want to be 8 feet tall, 6 inches? Yeah. Yeah. How many times do you ever think to yourself, man, what I'm asking for is really weird. How many of you like to be blue? Yeah. Yeah. Be blue with hair that looks a lot like, I don't know, feathers. Yeah. Would you ask your mom, can I be blue? Would you ask mom about that? What kind of things would you ask mom for? Could you ask mom for a pickup truck?
Yeah.
And what's the answer going to be? Okay. Why would she say no? I don't know. It could be the fact that you're what, 11? Yeah.
No,
but I look forward to that someday. What would happen if you turned up blue at school? What would they? Would they laugh at you? They think it was funny. What if you all of a sudden turned out to be 8 feet tall? What would happen? You wouldn't fit in your bed. You would not fit in your bed. So what are some things that you can ask mom and dad for and easily get? A hang glider. You have some seriously cool parents. Kisses. Oh, yes. Chocolate kisses, that might even work. Yeah, I like where you're thinking. How about lunch? Clean clothes? Protection? Hugs? Ooh. Who said ooh? What could you ask God for? Food. Good. Yes. What else could you ask God for?
Water.
Juice. Yeah. Love. Protection. Keep me safe. You know, by the way, did you know that in our Bible verse it says, ask and you'll get. Look and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And what Jesus is saying is, don't be afraid to bring anything to God. Don't be afraid to bring anything to God. By the way, if you go to your mom every day and say, well, like some things, mom, can I have a truck? And mom's going to go, ooh, no. Not right now. Soon, but very soon. Well, no, not tomorrow either. But someday. But see, God will always do what's best for you, just like your parents. And take your parents and just go beyond, and God will keep doing good things for you. Ask, you'll receive. Look, you will find. Knock, the door's going to be open. Remember that. That's kind of what we're going to read today. Come on up here. Let's remember. Everybody's got a place. Everyone belongs. Come on, sweetie. Open the handle up. We got some cool dudes here. She won't bite. Gracious Father, I thank you for these incredible children, these awesome young people. Help us to always ask you, even sometimes when you say no, help us never to stop asking, never to stop seeking, never to stop knocking on your door. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may go down with Mrs. Anderson and have a wonderful time doing who knows what. Excellent. What else are Grandpa's for but the whole coats? That is excellent. As we come to pray, let's just bow our hearts and ask God if he would do his work. This morning, Father, we are going to come to your table in just a moment. We're going to hear again how much you have loved us. Before we get there, Father, we also want to know that you just accept us just as the way we are. And we know that we have fallen short of what you expect. We're not fooling ourselves. We know that we have a long way to go, but like children, you just embrace us and love us. We thank you for all that you have provided, all the joy that you have given. But now, Father, we just simply want to say to you, would you forgive us of the things that we have done? Quietly, silently, just to you and you alone, Father, we're going to lift up the things that we have failed at, and we're going to ask for your forgiveness, and we're going to ask for your cleansing. This morning, Father, we know that you said if we are going to say what we have done and we offer them to you for forgiveness, you will wipe them away. You tell us that as far as the east is from the west, you tell us that you will simply eradicate them and you will remember them no longer. Create in us a clean heart. Wash us and we will be whiter than snow. We thank you for your hope and your joy, which is why we can come and pray for the people that we care about. We think about Bill this morning and Wyatt. Father, we think of Kyle and we think of Stan. We think of Gene this morning. Father, we pray that you would embrace us and love us. We pray that what we do here would be joyful in your mind. These things we pray because Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our life. And following him, we simply say to you, remember us in Jesus' name. Amen. Communion in the Covenant Church and in most of the church is an open invitation. We invite all who want to know Jesus and who love him. And by the way, that doesn't happen perfectly of anyone in this room. Maybe Gloria, but no one else. We come just as we are without one plea. Because on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus was surrounded by disciples who didn't understand. And he took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body which has been broken for you. Do this, remembering me." And then he took the cup, probably the third cup in the Passover meal, called the cup of redemption. And he said, "This cup is the new promise, the new covenant in my blood. Do this, remembering me." Paul says, as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we make a proclamation that our God has let his son die and rose again from the dead, and he is coming back. And this is what we do. We don't come to this table because we have a right. We come because we have an invitation. We don't come to this table to make an opinion, but we come in our constant need of God's grace and His mercy. We don't come because of any other reason than the one who died, the one who is raised, invites us graciously to participate in His meal. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we ask that You would bless this cup and that You would bless this bread. And by what we do with these things, that You would remind us again of how much You've loved us. We're reminded of what Your servant Paul said in Romans 5, that You loved us so much that while we were still sinners, You let Your Son die for us. We praise You. And we ask that this meal would be something that is special, that this event, this sacrament, would fill this place with Your presence and the power of Your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite the deacons to come forward and help. This morning we're going to invite you to come forward, that you just take a piece of the bread and dip it in the cup to remind ourselves of what we have received. So I invite you to come. You may come in rows, you may come, but if you come in this way and then leave going through the outer rows, come through the center and return to your seats through the outer rows. Please let us come and share the cup. Christ, which has been shed for you. The blood of Christ, which has been shed for you. The blood of Christ, shed for you. The blood of Christ, which has been shed for you. The blood of Christ, shed for you. The blood of Christ, shed for you. As we were reminded of this morning, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find it. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to the destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
Father, I ask that you would open our minds and our hearts. And again, that you would be the one that speaks. And I pray that your word would find all that it needs to do in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you trust me? I mean, do you? Are you willing to rely on me? Are you willing to put your confidence in me? Are you willing to place your faith and belief in me? And you're saying to yourself, well, that depends. That depends. Trust you for what? How many of you would trust me to drive you to the mall? How many of you would trust me to fly you to Grand Rapids? How many of you might trust me to take out a sliver out of your finger? How many of you would trust me to take out your appendix? How many of you would trust me to put gas in your car? How many of you would trust me to change your transmission? How many want to live in a house that I built all by myself? Yeah, exactly. No, thank you. You get the idea. You know, trust is so essential in every relationship that we have. If you don't have trust, it changes everything. I think of Gloria. You trust your doctors, don't you? Because if you didn't, that would be kind of an unpleasant experience, wouldn't it? It would make that much, so much more difficult. Do you trust the teachers that your children have? Do you trust the mechanic that you involve yourself with? Do you trust your accountant when he does your taxes? Do we trust the people that are around us? Do we trust them? Do we rely on them? Without trust, you really can't have a thriving, growing, living relationship. But trust is experience-driven. We learn how we can trust people. In fact, we know that there are certain levels that we can trust people, and there are certain things we cannot trust them to do. You know, there are certain things that they have, and a lot of it is not having to do with their intentions. Some just has flat-out to do with their abilities. With most people, when we meet them, we invest a little bit of trust in them. We deposit a little bit of trust in them, and then we watch what they do with that trust, whether they build the trust or whether they squander or waste that trust that we have given to them. They can either grow it or they can lose it. Or they can show areas that they can be trusted in and other areas that they cannot be trusted in. You know, one of the things I'm really good at is I'm really good at research. The other thing I'm not really good at is remembering things. People will do things and say, here, give this to your wife. Not happening. Not because I don't want to, it's just other things. You know, have you ever had something come in your mind and just shove the rest of it out? Anybody have that experience, or am I the only one that suffers from that type of malady? No, I try and remember, you know. I'm really good at some things, but at editing what I write, not so much. So you may want to pray for Jane. And she tries to decipher, what is it I have written? We know how far to trust. We know by experience whether we can trust somebody in this regard and trust somebody in that regard. By the way, have you ever said, how much do you trust that person? No farther than I can throw them. You ever heard that expression? Yeah. I like what Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. Shakespeare, you know what he said? Love everyone, trust just a few. Do you know what God said? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will set your path straight. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That's hard for some people. That's hard for some people because we have expectations and we have ideas of how things ought to go. And God says, trust me. And you're going, I don't know if I can or not. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust God. Trust also in me. That's discipleship. That's following Jesus, is trusting him. And if we find it hard to trust Jesus, to put our faith in him, we may not want to follow where he's going because in our minds, we may have decided that we know the better path. We know where we ought to go. We know where we'll be safest, and we know what ought to happen. But if we don't let him take care of us, it just doesn't work. And so this whole section talks about trust. And he starts with what we need. He said, trust me to provide for what you need. Trust me for all your requirements. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And the words that they use really aren't a one-time thing. It probably would be better translated as, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't make it a one-time thing. Make it a lifestyle. Make it an absolute thing. And if you do these things, you're going to find that the door is going to be open to you. You're going to find that you're going to receive what you asked for. You're going to discover what you were looking for. You're going to have all of those things. How do you do that? One way is prayer. One way is to pray for them. Remember what he said earlier? Your Heavenly Father knows what you need even before the words leave your mouth. Seek his direction. Seek his kingdom. Seek his will. And he will give you all of those things. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door is going to be open. This is obviously kingdom oriented. This is obviously kingdom stuff. We are seeking and asking and knocking for the things that not only have to do with our personal welfare, but with God's plans and his directions as well. Health and care of the loved ones, health and care of ourselves, health and all those things, the provisions we need for day in to day. Remember the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. God knows what we need. And so ask him for it. The question then comes up often, what happens when I knock? What happens when I seek? And what happens when I ask? And all of a sudden, it just isn't there. What happens? What do you do? What happens? Depends on what you ask for. How many of you have asked God for something that you thought was legitimate and somehow it never came to be? God, make me really, really rich. God, make me really, really smart. Or as my prayer, God, please make me really, really skinny. What happens with that? Why isn't God making me really, really skinny?
What are you eating?
Yeah? What are you eating? Not only what are you eating, how much are you eating? How many? God, don't let me do those things. I want to be, and God says, are you willing to put in the effort? Are you willing to put in the work? Are you willing to do those things? You know, how many times do we ask God to all of a sudden go, whoosh, and take everything away, and lo and behold, it doesn't come to pass. We pray for things because we don't pray, and we don't get, James says, because we don't pray in a manner that reflects the glory of God and what he desires for us. What do I do? By the way, if you don't get what you want from God right away, what do? How many of you just go, knew it wasn't going to work? How many of you just quit? How many of you get bitter? How many get angry? God says, keep on asking. Keep on asking. Jesus understands the feelings and the questions. And that's why he goes to the next section. He says, look, you have to understand the nature of the Father. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Have you ever made a list of all the things your children have ever asked you for? What are some things that your kids ask for on a regular, your children have or do ask for on a regular basis? What is it?
Money.
Money. Money. Money, money, money. What? Your checkbook, not happening.
A diesel pickup.
A diesel pickup, yeah. 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 Mom, can I go to a movie? Mom, can I watch TV? Mom, can we have a Nintendo? Mom, can we have an Xbox 360? Mom, can we go to Florida? How many times do your children ask you for altruistic and other-oriented requests? A lot. Now, yeah. Mom, can we take food over to the neighbor? Sometimes they would. Can we take food over to the neighbor? How many times was it mostly, I want, I don't know where to go, so I'm going to you. I want. As parents, have you ever had to say, Skittles does not make a good dinner? By the way, have you ever said yes to ice cream? Sure. You ever say no to ice cream? Sure. When the request is, Mom, can we have ice cream? Hey, we love to give you ice cream. Not for breakfast. There's a time for cake and there's a time for vegetables. What? I missed that. Oh, those are good. You know, here's the other part. Sometimes we have to have them do things that they don't like doing. How many of you gave chores to your children? And we're not talking about the success level of getting them done. We're just talking about you handing them out. Why did you hand them out? She's too young. You will, trust me. At some point, Kay's going to have to make a bed sooner or later. Why would you do that? Why would you give them chores for their welfare? To teach them, to learn how to be responsible. Because at some point in their lives, you aren't going to be there when they're 30 years old to go make their bed. Sooner or later, they have to learn how to do laundry. And if they don't want pink underwear, they've got to learn how to separate the colors out. And God, Jesus says, look, if our Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts, if you know how to give gifts, I should say, and you are evil, that's kind of an sinful. That's one of Matthew's favorite terms. He uses it 26 times. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, don't you have the clue that your Heavenly Father knows how to do them? We know how to give good gifts. There's nothing better than the day you give your child a bike. But there are days they need socks too, don't they? You know? Oh, we love to give them toys, but sooner or later, they need underwear. If you as a father are like that, as a parent like that, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask you? Do you really think you can outgive God? Do you really think you can outgive all the things that our God has given to us? It's not going to happen. It depends on how well you know Him, though. It depends on how well you trust Him. You might have to extend yourself, go out on a limb. Go out on a limb and try something that God says and see if it operates and see if it works. You may not like it. You may be a little skittish. You may have tried to trust someone in the past, but they kind of shut the door in your face. But you're going to have to give God the benefit and give it just one shot. And He starts in this way, because what He's going to ask of you is huge. In everything, verse 12. In everything, then, this is what I want you to do. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Anybody find that at all familiar? We call that the? Yeah. And we think it's really great for other people, don't we? You should live by the golden rule. In everything. In the way that you drive, in the way that you shop, in the way that you work, in the way that you deal with your neighbors, in your politics. Boy, how would our nation be if everyone treated each other politically like they would want to be treated? See, I've gone from preaching to meddling. In everything, love one another. That's what Jesus is saying. Because to loving God with all you are and all that you have and all that you ever will be and loving your neighbor as yourself is the sum of the law and the prophets, this too is the sum of the law and the prophets. So He's saying the same thing. Love one another. Love one another. In everything. In all regards, from the little things to the huge, do to others just like you would have people do to you. Be gracious, be forgiving, be kind, be cooperative, be helpful, be encouraging. Do those things with those others because you're going to extend yourself, which is why faith is required. It's an extension of trust. By the way, if you do that, guess what's going to happen? People are going to take advantage of you, aren't they? You're going to be disappointed. You're going to get abused. Did people ever take advantage of Jesus? Sure. Do you think Jesus was ever disappointed? Pretty much. Do you think Jesus was ever abused? Well, we aren't even going to go there. We know that. We know that. We know that. Which is why we have to have faith. Which is why we have to trust. Which is why we have to know that we have a God who unfailingly loves us. We just took communion a few moments ago. That was a demonstration of what God has given to us and how much we can trust Him, how much we can depend on Him. That is a demonstration of what we have been given in Jesus. And so we know that we can walk with Him even when the time gets hard, which is why verses 13 and 14 are there. I want you to enter into the narrow gate, Jesus says. I want you to follow Him on the path, even when it seems more than you can handle. When you came to Jesus, did anybody promise you that you were going to have all your problems solved? I hope not. When you came to Jesus, did anybody tell you that you are going to have a life that's just a bed of roses? I hope not. They were lying to you. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. If you look at everything our culture demands on you, they said, look, you deserve everything you want. You ought to have everything and no demand should ever be put on you. You have rights, not so much responsibilities. And a lot of people are going to go to that gate. It is a broad gate. It's kind of like a wide. It is so wide that it's an 8-lane highway. You can go right through there. It's broad and it goes straight downhill. It's easy. It's comfortable. It always acquiesces to your demands and desires. And Jesus said it leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. I walked into a Cracker Barrel once, and they had this kind of like yellow funnel. You ever seen that? And you put a quarter in it, and it goes around and 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 around, and it goes right down the hole. That's kind of what our culture's like. You put in there, and you go around, and it's a pleasant ride, and it's a pleasant ride, and you keep going around, and you keep going around, and you don't know that the only place you've got is a long, dark hole. Jesus said, no, that's not the road you want. You want the narrow gate. You want the narrow gate, and you want the narrow road. That leads to eternal life. And it's not an easy path. Let me tell you that straight out right now. Being a Christian is not an easy path. You have to turn your cheek to people who want to hit it. You can't judge people around you. You have to live by God's tenets, which say the things of this earth you need to hold with a loose hand because they're not the most valuable. People are going to persecute you. They're going to attack you. They're going to malign you. And you have to pray for them. And you have to forgive them. And you have to know that your reward is not now, it is then. That your reward, while secure, doesn't always sit in your hands. The gate is small, the road is narrow, and only a few find it. Do you ever get tired about being a minority? Do you ever get tired of knowing that maybe 20% of all the population right now love Jesus, and that probably might be the high number for a while? Don't you ever wonder, why doesn't everybody take it? They don't want it. How could you not want love? Price is too high. Not interested. They're not willing to give up. They're not willing to trust. They're not willing to trust. Who do you trust? I trust Jesus. Who are you going to follow? I follow Jesus. Now, let me make a promise to you. I've been here, 9.5 months? Yeah. If it hasn't happened by now, it's going to happen before July 1st. I'm going to irritate you. I'm not trying. It just is a gift. I'm going to disappoint you. Oh, by the way, sometimes you're going to irritate me. and you're going to annoy and you're going to disappoint me. It's just the nature of who we are. Do you know who never disappoints me? Jesus. You know who never fails me? Jesus. You know who never leaves me? Jesus. You know who I can trust? Jesus. Always, always Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.